When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt podcast.
All right, here we go. You're up.
All right. We're up.
We're up. Yeah, it's our turn.
Now. Okay, Jim Gerhardt, Bob Williams. Bob Williams, Jim Gerhardt. We'll give each other split credit for this now. One of the big things, at least of recent days, Bob, has been this weather.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking.
In the what epicenter of this. Oh, first of all, in deference to the animal rights people, I'm going to stop. I promised I wouldn't.
You're not going to wear the grip hat anymore?
I wouldn't beat a dead horse
anymore. Okay.
So, now what do I. I thought now perhaps this.
Yes, Navy Corpsman.
But again, I may get beaten up by the Antifa people because this is a military type thing. My service.
And that is
fascist according to the fascists.
All right. So let's that's out for now.
All right, so here. Now this is peace. This is a Tibetan. This is Om Mani Padme Hum, Tibetan. So who could get?
I don't.
Somebody will object.
Somebody
to that.
In the audience right, probably understands that language.
I'm going to settle for this because it is a historic hat.
Okay.
This Eric Scott gave me this for Christmas. We all exchanged presents back in the old days.
Right.
Back in it would have to be in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. One of the first years that we were operating.
I think I remember that one. Yeah.
And what this is, what it says, I'll let you figure out what it says and why. It's there's a school that in the Midwest somewhere, Wood Junior College.
Okay.
And their mascot is a woodpecker.
Okay.
And so this is the Woodpeckers.
All right.
That's how they call the team.
Go Woodpeckers.
The weather thing.
You've been out of power since Sunday?
Since whatever the day it was.
Probably Sunday night.
No, it came back on last night.
Sunday night, Monday.
We finally got it back.
So you were out like a good, 3.5-4 days,
well,
right?
Well, about 3 days, I think it was. And it was very hard to get information. I've got to say thanks to Dan Alexander, our news writer here. Dan had written a piece, and it was the only information I could really get. I was trying all the websites of the local television, radio stations, and the like, about what was going on. So I had some idea. Fortunately, we have a backup generator.
Right, and you know, it was ironic because right after we had done the Facebook Live last week, I think we were discussing that you had bought a full house generator about, 5-10 years ago or
right
something like
Sandy.
That? Right after Sandy. So that's got to be 7 years ago, and you've had no need. So you say you were the good luck charm, didn't need it for 7 years.
You only notice it if there's an extended power outage. Short ones they've had, but you don't know that because it immediately kicks in, runs on natural gas. Immediately it kicks in, and it covers everything in the house.
Yeah.
Now, with the power out this much, and so I've had second-guess myself for 7 years. It's a lot of money. This thing hasn't done anything. But it did something the last few days.
Irony of ironies,
I'm grateful to Myron Depew, who were whatever.
They did the install?
They did the install, got it from them.
Now,
it's a wonderful piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Now, I got 3 full freezers.
Okay.
I'm something of a food hoarder, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But think if I'd lost that, it almost would pay for the
generator
after a while.
Now, did you survey your neighborhood? Did you find the source of the wires? No, I didn't.
Interestingly enough, I saw all of these pictures of wires down, trees down on wires, trees uprooted, falling, right smashing houses. We had none of that.
Hmm.
The only thing, when it came through, it was rather scary, standing on the porch, and you could see this coming, and it looked kind of black, the sky. And I said, this one's for real.
Yeah.
They've been giving these warnings, you know, the break-in things on television and
your phone scare the devil out of you.
And the two of them have said, okay, this is real, go to your cellar. And oh, God, well, I didn't go to the cellar, but anyway, we got away with it. Nothing happened, no tornado. But I said, oh, maybe this time it's for real. Oh, boy. But then it sort of lightened up a bit, but the wind, we were definitely getting the 75, 80 mile an hour winds, and huge trees were not uprooted, but they were coming over at an angle. The only thing that we had, a couple of small limbs down, but it blew the cover off my Prius.
Oh, okay.
Which was no big problem and across the yard, but we came out okay.
But widespread, I mean, you had hundreds of thousands of people, most of Monmouth County, a good chunk of Monmouth County was out. Currently, we understand, last update, you have 6,000 people out who have JCP&L and about 1,000 customers for PSE&G. So they are certainly making progress, and the target is hopefully they'll have everybody back on by Friday.
Daniel Gilbert, and this is an excellent question. Daniel says, do you think our governor will find a way to tax the heat? You believe me, yes. Are they doing that in California? If they haven't, they will be doing it soon.
Yeah.
Oh, you know something I wanted to mention? I don't want to be very critical of former Governor Christy Whitman, because our relationship with her was very good. She was very competent, good governor, and was very gracious to us. I did the equivalent of the Ask the Governor program with her back in the 90s before Eric was here. And the relationship was very good. But I would like to just drop a hint here. Maybe she should consider. The story was that she had she joined the Trump bashers.
Okay.
Dan, is that correct? Christy had...
Very much so.
Very much so. So enthusiastically.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here is why I would suggest you reconsider that. When she had left New Jersey to become a head of the Environmental Protection Agency in the Bush administration, 9/11 occurred.
Okay.
It was Christy Whitman as head of the EPA who assured all of the workers and the rescuers, the cleanup people, at 9/11, there was no problem with the air. Everything is safe. You don't have to wear anything. You know, the air is fine.
Yeah, I remember that.
Look what's happening now, as we find out. So her timing is not good, since this is right after John Stewart's testimony.
Right.
Which actually created some very positive result. I understand the Senate did pass
the
law to
almost unanimously. I think there were two dissenters.
Yeah. So there were thousands of people who were affected by this after she assured them, you don't have to take any precautions. The air is good. So just, you know, people who live in glass houses, you finished that line.
Right.
I've heard a dozen of them there.
Yep.
What else? Speaking of government, this is Thursday. Now, Wednesday and leading up to it, there has been, in media, a Super Bowl of meaningless hysterical hype over this Mueller testimony.
It's crazy.
Which happened yesterday. It went absolutely wild.
They shut down their national morning shows.
Yes.
It went to, every channel had the coverage of the hearing as of 8 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah, it was practically hysterical. And I think what they're doing, just to jump ahead and not get into that, I think the major media, and this is in all forms, is trying to save its backside because right now they are running the same course as the dodo bird because of the internet,
right,
which is replacing that. And so I think they're trying hysterically to drum up some kind of commotion to get attention. And it doesn't matter if it's true or not. Most of it is not really news. But here again, they come up with this. Now, my observation is, who cares? I have not run into any person, have you, who was interested at all?
I
can't wait to go home and watch it.
People are just fatigued by the entire thing. They're just embarrassed, mostly.
People want no more of this crap. Yeah. So I think it's about time they consider stopping it.
Yeah.
But they can't do it now. They're locked into that now, and they're also pursuing the loony left agenda. Enough said on that. Okay, now this I'm going to defer to you because you're a traffic authority. I understand they're going to open this mall, the American Dream.
Oh, the one that has been being built for the last 10 years.
Oh, it's more than that.
Of the Meadowlands.
It's more than that. I remember
the site of the former Meadowlands Arena.
Yeah, I remember back in, it would have been the early 90s, George Zoffinger, who was probably the most competent person in government we've met over the 30 years we've been operating.
He did a great job at the sports.
George was so competent, he got the heck out of politics and got into the financial world.
Yeah.
But there's some good stories I could tell about that, too. But I remember George coming by with this plan for something called Xanadu. Remember? It was Xanadu in the beginning. And he laid out, and we talked about it on the air, these plans. And it was off, it was on, it was off and on for, 20 years, or at least 10, 15 years. God. Now it's back. It has thundered back. And it is now the American dream, and they have, I understand, an inside ski run and
a whole bunch of different things. They have a solid contractor that's building it, and it's going to open in the fall finally.
It's going to open in September or October. Mm-hmm. Now, here, I will ask you, is this not going to cause the traffic Armageddon of all time?
Well, I think the roads, I mean, it's probably going to be a consistently, you know, congested area as it is. I mean, you can't get much more traffic in there right now because that's the main corridor to and from the Lincoln Tunnel. And it's also right at the sports complex. So there's only a certain amount of roads that are there. They really haven't expanded the capacity in that area. I think it's certainly going to put a lot more strain on the area, for sure. I mean, round the clock. People are used to it during sporting events.
Look, New Jersey Transit can't handle what it has now.
No, they can't.
And the planning for this started back when New Jersey Transit was somewhat competent.
Right, of course.
Which would go back a number of years.
And they can't even get it right when it comes to shuttling people, New Jersey Transit, in and out of the games, to the sports complex for football games or concerts or whatever.
Dan, do you have a moment? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you do, Dan was telling me something one moment ago, if you can get around here, that our governor has come to the rescue like Mighty Mouse. Here he comes to save the day, and he has a grand plan now for solving this.
He wants to. Basically, trains can go in and out of the Meadowlands, but they can't go around the Meadowlands.
Come around here so people can see you. No. I can't see you on the screen. No, not. That's just as bad.
No, it's right in the middle.
In the middle.
Right. Like you're taking
just
our order.
Just right.
I'll have a nice tea.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Lemon.
Yeah, so anyway, now the governor is going to save us from this.
Yes. His plan is to build a maglev or magnetized levitating train that will go. It goes very fast, but it will. That's his idea to solve the issue of trains in and out of the Meadowlands.
One question: how fast does it go? You say very fast. I think they go over 100 miles an hour.
I don't know the exact amount, but it's. I think you're probably in the right ballpark.
Now, that would work swimmingly in Tokyo, where you're going long distances, or Japan. How far do they have to go up there? About a mile?
Maybe two between
the
Meadowlands and the Secaucus?
The Secaucus, yeah. They can't get that right to this point.
Right,
makes you think it's going to work now?
So, but anyway, there you go. That's his plan.
Yeah.
Now, how much will that cost, and how many years will it take to do that?
Well,
because
this
is new technology. But they're opening this now in October or September.
Yep. It'll be open in time for holiday shopping.
Well, I guess, you know, the governor, we have to put our trust in.
Right.
Oh, man.
And what's going to happen during games? I mean, is the thing going to be open during events at the Meadowlands, at the stadium?
Well, from what I've read about it now, they're saying it could get up to 100,000 people, like on a weekend or something. I mean, it's huge.
Well, you figure MetLife Stadium seats for a football game upwards of 80,000.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're putting a lot of people, if people are going visiting the attractions there on a Sunday, that's also going to be... Well, that also raises another question, though. Bergen County is home of the Blue Laws.
Right, so you still can't buy clothing there.
But you can't buy clothing, but there's a lot of attractions there, like the indoor ski area, and the skating rink, and the movie theaters that you can go to.
Now, if I recall, the original proposal, when there used to be a different developer there, was that the mall would not be open during Meadowland events.
That was brought up during that was the Jets and the Giants had concerns,
right?
But
never came to fruition.
That, correct. That is very impractical because this is the business they're going, and they have all of these people that they've somehow persuaded to come in.
But if you tip
and that
off,
that's been very difficult to
but
get.
If you anger those NFL fans and they are already just not happy with the process of getting to and from the Meadowlands via transit, you talk to most fans, they're going to say, forget it. The trains are unreliable. I'm driving, and I'll take my chances. I'll get there early, and I'll leave
in
late.
In that area, the traffic bottlenecks are impossible
round
right
the,
now.
Round the clock, yeah.
And then you're going to add 100,000 people plus.
At any time, yeah.
Okay, so I would just bring
good
this up to
that.
Tip people off that if you want to see something and enjoy the carnage.
Yeah.
That this is an Armageddon. Dan, you think
it's not. The mayor of Secaucus even brought up during the week that this hasn't been very well thought out.
it hasn't been thought about at all, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, okay, thank you, Dan.
He probably heard about it on TV like the rest of us, on the radio.
Well, close.
Okay, what else is going on? You have any more to add to that, Bob?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, don't want to...
Dan, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Beat a dead horse, but yeah, it's going to certainly be a strain on the area. We're going to see how it goes. I'm sure sometimes they're going to be worse than others, Jim.
Well,
least we got more commerce coming in.
A few things going on here. You have anything big that you've seen that's going on?
No, it's been a pretty quiet week.
You know, as I said, I sit there, you know, on the veranda of Gerhardt Manor with all these things going through my head. Speaking of the utility, I was driving up 295 this morning, and it was a very slow truck in the right lane, and he was doing about 50. Now, 295 during that period of time, you get 65 generally in the right lane, the slow lane. You get people 75 in the middle and 80 or more in the left lane, and it's safe.
Yes.
It's a good road, good strip of road. Cars are safe nowadays. This was going very slow, and I got up close, and I saw it was a utility truck with Quebec license plates.
Oh, out of area.
They brought in these people to help get the power back. Now, I appreciate that. I'm very grateful to these people. But what I saw is even Canadians know how to play the system.
Yeah.
Now, he's getting paid by the hour. Now, if you're going to drive from New Jersey to Quebec at 50 miles an hour...
So he was heading north?
He's putting in a lot of hours.
So he's taking his time getting back to the home office, right? If you want... something on my mind from up by us. Consolidation of townships. Big hot topic up in my town, Roxbury. I think I was mentioning it to you before we went on. Roxbury and Mount Arlington have been going under a study of, they had a commission on how to consolidate services in the town and making Mount Arlington part of Roxbury Township eventually. Well, there was a meeting last night and the public was invited and seems like the overwhelming opinion is that nobody wants it.
Why?
Don't know. The mayors from both of the towns are not in favor of it.
That's one of the great paradoxes, and has been for years in Jersey life, why people fight and claim this legendary home rule.
Yeah, home rule.
And they fight any consolidation, when consolidation would save them a pile of money.
Yes.
And they would have money to spend rather than, as I had to do yesterday, trot down and plunk down a big check at the tax place because the quarterly taxes due. Because there's so many things that could be done, and there's so much that you could do with the money. You don't need it. Send it to us.
Mount Arlington, Roxbury, that's just one of several towns in the area that are possibilities for consolidation, municipal consolidation. Cranberry and Monroe this morning and a whole bunch of others.
It may be a generational thing. It may be when a new generation comes in that they will not do this, because I remember some of the arguments people would make, and they'd generally be older people. We don't want to consolidate with that town. Back in, Alt-3 or something, we played football with them, and I think they cheated. Don't want anything to do.
Yeah, that's a real reason.
We had one time where I lived, there were five towns that were talking about consolidating. It would have worked. This is in Burlington County. They were all jammed together, and it would have worked perfectly. And yet, to show how what happens is you get the home rule people saying, no, I love this town. You know, they feel some jingoistic relationship with the town. Also, people who have jobs there. Obviously, you wouldn't have five police chiefs.
Yes.
And you wouldn't have five this support organization or that one. That's the big thing. When this was up, I went to a hardware store. This was back when you had local hardware stores before everything was a box store. And there was a petition on the counter as you checked out, and the petition that you would sign fighting this.
Yeah.
Now, next to the petition was a police officer in full uniform, armed, and we knew the police were against it. And so they were standing there. Now, he didn't say anything, never intimidated anybody, but everybody comes through and says, oh, God, if I sign this petition, before I get off the parking lot, I'm going to get a ticket. It's just that people are intimidated that much. So I don't know that you're ever going to get that. The only meaningful one that's happened was Princeton, I believe.
Princeton and Princeton Borough.
And Princeton Borough.
A couple others, I think Chatham and Chatham Borough. Mm-hmm. They merged, and I was trying to figure out if Mendham and Mendham Town, Chester and Chester Borough did. So there are some successful stories there, that consolidation. But the thing with Mount Arlington and Roxbury, Mount Arlington feeds their school system into Roxbury High School. So they have one school, maybe two, in Mount Arlington Borough. They have a full school superintendent who's making $175,000 to $200,000 to oversee one, maybe two schools. Why? And that person who held that position for years recently retired the last year or so, and they were quick to appoint a replacement. So my question is, with the Consolidation Commission in progress, and nothing has been decided, why was that borough so quick to appoint a new person to that superintendent of schools position? Why couldn't they just put a temporary in there until everything was decided?
You know, you went to high school much more recently than I did. How many principals did you have?
Not many. I mean, I had one.
Yeah, well, we had one.
Yeah.
We had no assistant principal.
Right.
There was held up a standby, one of the teachers, I think it was a physics teacher.
Right, in case the other guy got sick.
Yeah, and that was it. And this class turned out, I think, a whole bunch of doctors and professional people. It was a good product that they were turning out. Now you've got schools with half a dozen principals.
Right, you got one that's taking attendance. You got one that's checking
curriculum in. Supervisor.
Right,
yeah.
You got and you got somebody who's checking up on the curriculum supervisor, and it's just ridiculous.
Well, education is one of the two biggest scams going in the country. The other one is healthcare, yeah. Which I won't get into right now. It's on my list. We'll get to it. I know in Newark. They had something, I believe the number was 60, or there, give or take one or two, so-called curriculum supervisors. What that means, I have no idea. All of them making good, healthy six-figure salaries.
Yeah, do any of them actually teach or in the classroom, or are they just sitting back at the desk supervising those that are busting their butts?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Trying to do a great job.
That's the mystery.
Yeah.
It's kind of akin, tell me if you go to the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, you can get in as a visitor, a tourist, but you don't go to it so far. And they say that you see sort of in the background, you see people in white vestments sort of moving back and forth and going around. Schools are kind of like that.
Yeah.
Something's going on, but you're never sure what. Education not being a very high priority,
right?
I think, in these. That's another matter. Oh, speaking of that, I love this. Bernie Sanders, the candidate.
Oh, of course, Bernie.
Bernie Sanders has said, as I understand it, I don't watch a lot of this rhetoric because it makes me sick, and I don't enjoy being sick. But he has proposed student loan forgiveness. Now, I love this. That student loans, the balance, mm-hmm. is wiped out. Now, this money comes from banks.
Right.
Right? I mean, this is not coming out of a government treasury. This is a government guarantee of bank money. So the big scam was between the colleges, the schools, and the banks.
The banks.
Because this was perfect. This is what sort of this ratcheted up the...
The debate?
It ratcheted up the money that the colleges cost, the charge. It ratcheted up the cost. Because when the colleges found out that they could get people to borrow money, go into debt, lose their houses, end up hopelessly in debt, to give them money, they kept asking for more and more and more. Yeah. Banks loved it. The bank, look at all the money the banks were loaning out. Now, here is my thought. I think it'd be wonderful. I would even vote for Bernie Sanders if I thought he had a chance to do this. Wipes it out, and the banks eat the loss. Now, he's probably talking about the government bailing it out, which is ridiculous.
Has he spoken to any of the banks about this
I have no idea, but I'm sure he'll cover something because he needs bank money for his campaign. But let's say that he does say, okay, this is it. Nobody owes anymore. Banks, you're stuck with whatever the balances are here. Uh-huh. I think it would be wonderful. You know why? It's payback because these people who are going broke paying loans pay taxes to bail out these same banks after the crash in 2008.
Yeah, right.
And they were bailed out and ended up, people who caused the bubble to burst, they caused the bubble and the bubble to burst, cost all the money, they got bailed out.
Yeah.
We didn't. So I think Bernie's got something here. I would love, Connie. Connie says, I agree with you. 30 years ago when I served on the Board of Education in Highland Park, I was in favor of regionalization with larger next town of Edison. People went crazy in a town of 1.8 square miles.
Yeah.
Connie, you're
home rule,
and you try to explain this to people, it's inexplicable. The same thing with school districts. The combination of combining school districts. Yeah. Combining school, well, this is another subject, really, but combining the whole education system, like school purchasing and the like.
Right.
Because
that's
right
big
now,
money.
And pay scales and benefits could be statewide, because this way, what the union does, they will find a district in which the school board is very pro, and maybe even have union members on it, and they will come up with an increase. Let's say a benefit or a pay scale, and then they do that. And that it could be a very small school district.
Right.
Then the union starts yelling everybody else, well, we want one too. They got it. We want one too. So everybody gets ratcheted up. Yes. This is the ratchet system they have.
Nobody wants to lose anything.
Yeah. So, this is sort of inexplicable.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to put it out there again. I think any township that feeds their schools into another town's high school should be required to merge or consolidate services with that larger borough.
But people go ballistic, as Connie has suggested. Yeah. They mm-hmm. go absolutely crazy over it. Somehow people will identify with a town. Maybe people used to identify with a country. Now that's being broken up. I saw a story. We talked about this Mueller investigation, mm-hmm. which is based obviously on the loony left's agenda. And I don't know where this was taken, but the story said 74% of college students polled they want another Mueller investigation. They want to go back and do it again.
Really?
It's so nice, let's do it twice.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Because they are determined that everybody is determined they're going to nail Trump's carcass to the outhouse. And it's so sick and so out of hand now, this almost blind hatred. And the kids, now you're talking about college students who are how old, 18 to 22, 23 years old, very little experience in life. They've either been in home or they've been in school. They've been pretty much isolated from reality. And I think one of their problems is, for their unrest, is they're scared to death of reality.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to put that off as long as they can.
I think some of them have some good opinions, but by and large, I think they're really farming out their opinions to 30-second sound bites.
Yeah, but these aren't their opinions. They're being told this.
Yes.
Like, everything we believe is something that somebody told us. Now, you tell me what you were born with a priori knowledge.
Yeah.
You don't. You pick it up. Yeah. You're told this. And nobody knows, because nobody knows. There was a famous or a very prominent Zen master who said an interesting thing. He said that anybody who purports to tell you what life is about, the secrets of life, is suffering from a serious mental disease. And I think there's something to that. Let's see, Donna. Okay, hi, Donna. Donna says, at the very least, have banks do away with the interest on student loans, but that's not going to happen.
That would be a help, Donna.
Yeah. I have no problem. I mean, most countries in the world will have education subsidized by something. This is the only country, because we're a capitalism on steroids, I guess, and everybody is perfectly entitled to try to grub or bleed or extort as much money as they can. The only sin is not doing it if you have a chance.
I'll tell you,
here we get this obvious collusion between the government, the banks, and the educational institutes to keep driving up the cost of this to absorb any amount of resources that are available, like some giant vacuum.
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of cool Bernie's going to cut it out. Of course, he can't do that. As Donna says, at the very least, have him do away with the interest on the loans.
Yeah.
But
well, how much fault really falls on the universities, though, that are bringing these kids in for these degree programs and really talking them up? They're going to the college fairs. They're bringing the kids in. They're hook, line, and sinker. The kids want to go. The parents are like, oh, I don't want to disappoint my son or daughter and not send them to their dream school and have them have the experience of their life and possibly get the best education, when maybe the place that they've chosen is not the best education. Yeah. It's overpriced in a lot of cases. Are these universities and colleges guaranteeing placement? Or what are the placement numbers after graduation? Are you going to get a $125,000 gig to start after you've spent $80,000 or $100,000 on your entire
probably,
education.
Probably not. But you see, this is part... See, this gets back to something so fundamental, I hate to think about it, because it goes against everything. Everything we believe in is not only an illusion, a delusion. You know what the biggest one is? What runs this country? What is America all about right now? I saw a TV program one time about the U.S. Treasury, and it said, in America, money is the measure of all things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Money is a delusion. It's an illusion. It isn't anything but paper.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it only works as long as everybody buys in.
It values,
as soon as people stop buying in, the whole thing collapses.
Right. Well,
and you get to the point that you say, I don't want, you know, this check for $20. I want a turkey, you know, directly. I don't want to go through the process. Bring me the bird, and I'll give you, a bucket of corn or something.
Do you think higher education is going to tip over the next 5 years?
I don't know what higher education now is. Higher indoctrination is what it's become. It's become sort of following the political agenda. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict it. I don't think it's going to be good, but I don't know. I have no idea. I think the big influence, huge, colossal, maybe the biggest in history really, has been the invention of the computer and the internet, the influence that it's had. And this influence will grow and spread. It's becoming more and more complicated and involved in many more things. So it's very little way. And of course, I guess as the Zen master was saying, anybody who'll predict the future is suffering from a serious mental disease. I hope I'm not. I don't know. Okay, so this has been fun talking with people. I appreciate it.
And did you want to talk about the favorite governor?
I don't want to do it now. I think we're getting sort of to the end of... anybody who's been listening to this for this long is probably in a state of exhaustion. But we'll save that.
Right.
Well, the question... I tell you, we'll do that next week for sure. I was just thinking, we have known, and I have known and worked with 7 governors. Well, 6, because I don't know this current governor. And had good relations with all of them, you know, from a broadcasting point of view, and observe them. And I would like to know, in your view, of the 6 governors, which would be Florio, Whitman, Donnie DeFrancesco, Jim McGreevy, Governor Cody, Dick Cody, Christie, and now you get the Murphy.
Right.
Which one...
Oh, did you have Corzine in there? Did we mention
Corzine. I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't have Corzine written in here. All right. How quickly we forget. So he sort of faded off into the dusk.
What happened to him?
Talk about it. Which one did the most most positive for New Jersey people? So that's what we hired them to do. Did anybody do anything positive?
Yeah, you have to think about a couple of them. What did they do?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Very good.
I think we'll...
enjoy your summertime weekend. Happy Christmas in July. It's the 25th. What do we got? Only 5 months till Christmas.
Gee, this weather. This weather is a killer. I've never.
Hopefully your power stay on.
I was in. What's the hottest temperature you've ever been in? This is an old question people ask.
Probably in the mid 100s, like 105.
Where?
Around here, I think about 103 was probably my highest. 103
to 105.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not this year, but
I was
years
in,
back.
And I looked this up recently in Samarkand, which is in Tashkent.
Yeah.
Or it's that area, Uzbekistan, down on the Afghan border, in the summer.
Yeah.
The temperature, we were told by the people with the group, the temperature in Samarkand that day was 111.
Oof.
So I said, how come I didn't feel that? People talked about, this is great. They have the Bibi Khanum Mosque, which is Tamerlane's favorite wife, the conqueror in the area. The mosque, which is absolutely gorgeous, a nice sort of light blue and white structure, that's just made out of clay. And it's so dry there that it's lasted, even withstood earthquakes. But anyway... I said, I didn't think to ask what the humidity was, so I looked it up. Yesterday in Tashkent, it was 109 degrees. The humidity was 12.
Okay, so it's no real feel. So
no,
it's 109.
No real feel.
It's 109.
And you can live with that. This was terrible. The big thing that hurt, as I understand it, was the heat during the day, but it didn't go down at night.
No.
So there was no chance of cooling off overnight, as often happens.
Yeah.
Okay,
great.
I can slip my grip hat back on and then slink out in the back door and avoid the PETA.
I don't think anybody will bother you.
Yeah. Have yourself a great time. The weather looks like it's going to be better. Let's hope it is. Thank you.
See you next time.
Thank you very much. See you next time, hopefully.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.